Maya Cannon will shortly publish her sixth collection of poetry, Donegal Tarantella. The book is inspired by a fascination with migratory birds, her complex relationship with the earth and sea, and how music migrates through travellers. Maya Cannon is with me in studio right now. And that title, and the title poem, in fact, but the title Donegal Tarantella, it's such a great mix of the very Irish and what to me sounds like the very continental, the very Spanish.
Well, this is the great thing, that culture travels all the time. Art travels, tunes and songs and poems. They have wings, they travel. And this was inspired by a wonderful lecture I heard by a guy called Ronan Galvin, a fiddler. And he was talking about a little glen in Donegal where there was a very rich fiddling tradition. It's an area my father came from very near there as well. And I didn't appreciate as a child at all the rich tradition that came from this quite impoverished area. But he said that there was one house in particular, said, you know, there were fiddlers in every house, but one house had a tune and nobody knew what it was. But it was somehow associated vaguely with a sailor who had been shipwrecked before the famine, and who had been sheltered in this house. And Ronan himself, anyway, was playing at one time at a festival in France, and an Italian musician beside him says, "That's a tarantella," he said, "that's from Naples." So Ronan did a little bit of research, and he discovered that, yes, indeed, a ship going from Bergen to Naples had gone down off Glencolumbkill, I think sometime in the 1830s. And this tune of
had somehow stayed.
And I was so moved by this because, first, the generosity of this family who wouldn't have had very much themselves, the fact they had no language, they had no common language, and yet somehow or other, he gave them this tune as payment for their generosity.
Well, music was obviously one part of the common language. So yeah. that inspired the title poem and the title of the text. So let's hear that title poem,
right.
Maya.
So, Donegal Tarantella. Tunes wash up ocean-polished pebbles in the kitchens of South Donegal. Mazurkas, Germans, Highlands, hornpipes, jigs, reels, all gone native since they were washed in by waves of returning emigrants, Napoleonic garrisons, travelling pipers or fiddling tinsmiths. And in one fiddling family, a tarantella was passed down from a time before the famine, before there was a fiddle in any house, when shelter was afforded to a sailor, rescued from the wreck of the Grassen, out of Bergen, bound for Naples, who, one night at a house dance, joined in the lilting with a tune from his native Italy, to please a girl, or to keep the dancers going on a floor of beaten clay. A new tune, a gift, a ringing coin tossed into the trove of northern music.
Maya Cannon reading the title poem from her new collection, Donegal Tarantella. I was thinking of the tarantella as a Spanish dance, but it's an Italian dance, of course.
Yeah.
I think the idea was you get bitten by a spider and you had to dance out the poison. that's what the tarantella is.
I think something like that, and goes from side to side, I think, as well, if I remember
linking in with the spider. But interesting that you talk about the songs there and how that tune was passed down through the generations. Yeah. There's another poem in the book which talks about, I think you talk about asking the question that every Irish person asks, hey, where do your family come from? Was it of an American woman?
Yes, it was. It was off a young historian, a young black historian in Florida. And it was, you know, sort of general conversation at one stage, anyway, to keep the chat going. I asked, and do you know where your family comes from? And I was so taken aback at the stupidity of my own question. And she said, well, you know, it's a bit difficult. She said, you can learn a certain amount from auction records and from cargo lists, you know. But she said that, and again, I found this very, very moving. She said, but one family, she said, did have a song and they managed to trace it back to a particular village in Senegal.
And it was such a polite answer, you know, it was such a generous answer, in fact, as you say, after you asked the question,
after
you realise...
such a clumsy question.
Yeah, auctions, cargo lists, and you realise she was talking about human beings being trafficked and sold.
Yeah, and it gives you a little bit of perspective on Irish emigration too.
But music and the way that stories and tunes and in fact history, how that's handed down, that's always been something of great interest to you throughout the poetic career, isn't it? Really, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, my background was actually in history. I mean, I was always interested in poetry, but I studied history. And I think there must be a God, because I didn't become a historian. I would have made a very, very bad one. But I'm still I'm still intrigued with the past and our links with the very distant past as well. And I'm very interested in sort of prehistoric art and the fact that people who really must have been living at the very edge of survival, they made absolutely beautiful things from mammoth ivory, that this was important to them. And we know that the people in the Lascaux Caves or in the Vogelherd Caves in Germany, they had music as well. And and you're talking about 30,000 years ago, and I wonder, what do we share with these people? And was it that partly that making of art? Art brings people together. Yeah. No, it's a very grand word for something, for songs and stories.
But there's another, I think it's quite a short poem. I can't remember the title of it now. It's about, I think you must have been hill walking because you are an avid hill walker, aren't you? And climber. Where you spotted four deer, was it?
Yeah.
And this made you think about deer and paintings in caves as well.
Yeah. And they were just, the way they bounced out of the heather so lightly. And I said, these cave paintings, they managed to get that absolute lightness. Mm. I remember the wonderful art critic John Berger said, you know, when he was brought into the Chauvet Caves in France, he said, he was asked to draw things, he was sort of copying things, you know, and he said, you know, these drawings are 32,000 years old. We don't draw any better now.
Yeah.
We don't draw any better now, you know. And I was just, as I say, seeing the deer, it reminded me of the lightness of these deer on the cave walls.
How important is that? Because I want you to finish up with what is the final poem, in fact, in the collection, which I think kind of captures something about the way I see you as walking the hills of Donegal or wherever it is. Yeah. I know Donegal is the native county. How important is nature and how much of an inspiration is it to you even just being out in it as a poet?
Well, I'd say there must be lots of many generations of sheep farmers or something in my genes. I'm not too sure, but I'm never happier than on the side of hill. I'm not a very good hill walker, you know. I'm always towards the end of the group, but I love being out there. So this is Climb, and it refers to Croagh-Patrick actually, which is always in mist when you're going up, and very often the mist blows away, and you can see all of the islands, and it reminds you of Blake's. You know, Blake's wonderful saying, you know, he talks sometimes about when the doors of perception open and we see things as they really are, and then it goes away again.
Okay, a bit like a poem, so, it reveals itself as this will.
Yeah. So, Climb. A worn quartzite cone, the mountain sails on in and out of mist. Below, 100 islands come and go. Doors of perception blow open, blow closed.
Moya Cannon with the final poem in her new collection, Donegal Tarantella, which is published by Carcanet Press. That's our lot for this evening on Arena. Brian Moss was the broadcast coordinator. Jamie Doyle was on sound. Research this evening was by Leah Murphy and Paula Shields. And tonight's programme was produced by Olin McGann. Talk to you tomorrow night once again, 7 o'clock here on RT Radio 1. Right now, however, time for John Creedon.